Hello and welcome to episode 72 of Digital Outbox. This is my new voiceover artist voice. It's Sunday, 19th of December, and I am joined today by Ian.
Good morning.
I'm going to just stop that now. I got a voiceover job. Yay.
Did you get paid for it?
I did get paid for it.
No way. Not you much. You get paid for that?
Yeah.
Oh, there's hope for us all.
I didn't do the, I'm going to stop doing this. But anyway, welcome along to our latest episode. We're actually doing this on a Sunday, which I think is a first, is it? Maybe, well, Sunday morning is certainly a first. It's still bright outside and it's all white and snowy here. This is going to be our last episode for this year, probably. And probably until after CES at the beginning of January next year. So we're on
a break, basically, after this.
We were on a break! So yeah, looks like it. Oh crikey, O'Reilly, I'm having trouble already. I got put off by my own voiceover acting.
I get put off as well. That was scary. I'm more put off that you get paid for that.
I know, it's mad.
Oh.
Still, you can imagine. Yeah.
How many takes? Out of interest, how many takes did you do?
It was not too bad, actually. No, I had to record it all in sentences as well, so it's fine. But
what, you don't speak in sentences? That is something new for you.
I had
you.
To record it in sentence chunks. Whatever. Let's move on, shall we? Let's get on to some other news. So a big news story this week has been the fact that Gawker has been hacked. Now, sounds like I know what I'm talking about, but I have no idea what Gawker did. I know about the story. I just don't know what the hell Gawker is.
I guess this is my story then.
I guess it is.
So Gawker is run by a guy called Nick Denton. And Gawker is the kind of the parent company for a whole host of sites like Gizmodo, Lifehacker, IO9, there's a whole host of websites. And so Gawker Media, they've been kind of been attacked by a number of different people recently, and they've been quite bold about it and saying, come and attack us, do what you like. So they did, and they grabbed basically a whole load of user account details.
Were they attacked because they kind of jibed people into attacking them then?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So silly them.
Silly them, and there's been a whole kind of like backstory to the whole thing. So first of all, I don't actually think I've got a number of how many accounts it was. I think it was over 1 million account details. And I mean, the sites are very, very popular. You know, so it's account details, email address, usernames, passwords as well. They were all uploaded in a 500 meg torrent file to Pirate Bay, where you could download and have a read through the passwords and the user accounts.
What I don't understand is how are sites like this still storing their passwords open? Why aren't they hashed?
And I think, well,
that's surely the basics, isn't it? I don't know.
No, that and what seems to be coming out is from a lot of the people that actually are working for Gawker, they're saying one aspect that's quite surprising is the tech side of things doesn't get a lot of funding. If you do a Google for Nick Denton, you'll see he's quite controversial. He's almost like he's like the kind of tabloid version of tech journalists. So he chased it. So it was him, if you remember, with the old iPhone 4 and buying that phone.
Ah, right. Okay.
You know, that for them, that was fine. And for people in Gadget, they saw that as a step too far and they wouldn't do it. So talked to the legal team, they said no. And Denton took the view, the page hits are worth it, go for it. So there's a, and I don't know whether that's what's attracted the attention. I guess what was also surprising is it's staff conversations, private passwords within their network were also in this 500 meg torrent file as well, including Nick Denton's passwords, and some of them are just password.
You know, I think I've said this before, and again, you know, whoop-de-doo that the hackers wanted to do this, and I guess proving that these people can fail or whatever, but it's the users that have all their details pumped out to all and sundry. It's not like the hackers have just said they've done something and it's been verified. They're pumping out all these results to everyone, which has no beneficial. I can't see any benefits to anyone other than the low lives and the criminals and spammers. You know, I mean, they love these things.
I know.
It bugs me.
And the bit that really infuriated me was actually that there was a lack of information from Gawker themselves. So on their websites, it's still to this day, if you go to Lifehacker or Gizmodo, you see a red bar at the top that says, "We've been hacked and here's how you can find out more about security. We recommend you changing passwords, not only on this site, but on a host of other sites," because a lot of people still use the same password on every site. So it's meant that if you know... If I find like your Gawker password, then I'll probably be able to sign on as you as Twitter, going to Facebook, and all that kind of good stuff. But Gawker never actually emailed any users, and they didn't actually do much publicity around it. They said they were working on an account delete tool, which will be available soon, and big deal. And it was actually other sites stepped in. So Hacker News website, they actually downloaded a torrent file, got the email addresses, and they emailed people to say you should be concerned that your account's been hacked.
Yeah, and okay, again, noble and whatever, but noble. They should never have had all those blooming email addresses.
No, but it was the fact that Gawker themselves says that they can't, that they had issues, and that was the reason why they couldn't do an email. And it's like, come on. There was also a number of enterprising people. So there's a guy called Jed Smith set up a website, gawkercheck.com. So you could actually pump your email address in and find out if you were one of the ones hacked. And there was a couple other options.
And he's probably silently collecting all the
he's
email
not.
Addresses.
Come on. Have some faith, man.
Oh, I accidentally wrote them to a file, like a la Google.
Disaster. Yeah. There was also a Twitter attack the day after. So it was this AC Berry or AK Berry, I don't know how to pronounce that, ACAI. And it was related to the Gawker hack, because at first it looked like people were able to access your Twitter account, but again, it was just all linked back to really
easy passwords.
Yeah, the right passwords,
with the email and password, yeah. Which is understandable, you know? I mean, again, you know, we hackers have got to take a bit of responsibility here. You know, it's a bit like breaking into an old world company head office and nicking all their files. How somehow we don't feel that it's that naughty in the hacking world.
Oh, no, I do think it is naughty, but
it's pretty much like that same thing.
But it's a two-way street. You know, I'm not going to leave my front door open.
No, I mean, there's, but yeah, fair enough. And things like having plain passwords in a database file still, to me, seems a little bit stupid. Never mind.
Well, I think they were all... I don't think they were plain passwords. So I think you had to go in and do a
you
bit
had to
of work.
Decrypt them, but then if you've, yes. got server, if you've got access to all the encryption algorithms...
Yes.
The thing with a hash tag is that obviously it's a one-way algorithm, so it can't be reversed. Anyway, so I guess what's come out of this, as with all of, as always happens, is keep strong passwords, people.
Yep, Guardian had an article about how to tighten up in passwords. And we'll put a link in the show notes. It was very good advice.
I mean, I have to say that adding strong passwords isn't going to solve anything in this case, really.
No,
because you know they're getting a file with all the passwords listed. But by having different passwords per site, subtly different. I think they mentioned a way of doing that, didn't they?
Yeah, they're talking about taking like a couple of words. And then taking the web or taking the kind of website name, and then I think the example was Facebook. So you might be F Shock 7B Asset, with Shock and Asset being your, or Shock 7 and Asset being your words. So it was just trying to A, lengthen it, B, make it a bit more random, but still make it something you can kind of remember. You know, so if you have a way of working it out, it's almost like your own little algorithm for creating that password. Then it makes it much, much harder for somebody to try and crack as well.
And it'll mean that you've got a different password per site. I think they also said things like having the first letters of maybe a lyric that you particularly liked.
Yeah.
Insert numbers into your password, but make sure those numbers aren't at the end, because everyone puts their numbers at the end. So
I don't. Oops.
A number in the middle would be good.
One thing I'm going to be doing over the next few days is actually just resetting all my passwords everywhere, because I've not done it for a while. A lot of them have been very static.
I'm still using one that I've been using for years. And I do have the kind of 3 or 4 password levels that people recommend. So, you know, you've got your financial ones, you've got your junk ones, and you've got your, you know, in the middle somewhere. But the problem is that even junky sites now are asking for strong passwords. And if you've only got one that would qualify as a strong password, then, we all need to have a sort of stock take, really, don't we?
Yes. So if you're bored over Christmas, go and sort your passwords out. And I'll also be, because I use 1Password, which kind of helps manage all my passwords everywhere. But I'm also going to take a look at LastPass.
I'd be interested to see how you got on. I'm still a bit concerned about LastPass, in that surely if they do actually end up working out your 1Password, they've got access everywhere. But, you know, the mysterious they. Okay, let's move on to Trouble for Delicious. So the Yahoo social networking or bookmarking site, it's come under threat of closure, I guess. Yahoo, some leaks came out of Yahoo saying that they were going to roll up the service or potentially close it.
Yep, and Yahoo looks to be in a bit of a mess.
They're all over the place. They have been for a while, I guess.
They have been for a while, and I mean, they basically gave up in search.
Sold out.
Yeah, but some people seem to be saying it's a good thing. Focus on the things that you can compete with, and search wasn't one of them. So it was probably a decent deal to do. But they've got a number of different tools that they've bought up over the years. You know, so they bought Flickr, Delicious is another one, and there's a whole host that they've actually set up themselves. But a slide got leaked out saying that upcoming Fire Eagle, MyBlogLog, Delicious and others were going to be basically retired or closed. I don't know, sunset, that was the word they used. And the leak, I guess what was most telling was that the guy now in charge of product, the product manager, Blake Irving, he tweeted, when he finds out whoever leaked that, they're sacked. So it sounds like it's a good company to work for right now. They've just laid off 600, including, I think, all the Delicious team. The bizarre thing was, everybody then started jumping on the, well, where can we go? You know, if you're a Delicious user and you're eye on it, what do you do? And so services like Pinboard, Zootool, they all picked up massive traffic. I mean, if I take Pinboard as an example, they added more bookmarks in a 24-hour period than they had done in the whole of the previous year.
Pinboard was struggling with their website as well, with the number of users going to it.
Yeah, so a day later, Yahoo actually put up a post saying that we're not shutting it down, but we have determined there's not a strategic fit for Delicious at Yahoo, and they're looking at finding a new host for it. So another company where it can be bought from.
And you can see how dangerous a leak like that is, and you can see why they want to sack that guy, is because if Delicious did have a value, that has now been wiped a considerable margin by this one leaked slide. And, as you know, again, that's why I don't want things like that getting out into the wild, really. The value of Delicious is now probably zero.
Yeah, because I mean, the traffic already was dropping on it, and I'm sure the only thing is that, I mean, so I've signed up to Pinboard, and I must admit, I used to use Delicious loads and then kind of stopped.
I used to use it, and I haven't fired up for months.
But what's interesting is I was ending up with loads of bookmarks and loads of stuff in my Instapaper account that I was using as almost like a bookmark manager for whatever reason. It just wasn't you. And so I signed up to Pinboard, and Pinboard's quite unique in that you need to, you pay for it, and as more people join, it becomes more expensive to join.
Yeah, when I first looked the other day, I think it was down at $6, and now it's up at $8.50 or something.
Yep.
And is that a one-off yearly fee?
It's a one-off fee.
It's just a one-off to join one-off fee. And that's it.
Yep. And that gives you access to most of the services. There is an archival service as well. So if you were, a kind of journalist wanting to archive loads of articles online, you can pay $20 a year, and it will archive the full site, including all the content and video behind it. So it's actually quite a powerful service if you're in that kind of sphere. I can see a lot of people getting a lot of use out of it. I guess some of the frustration with Pinboard is that it's not as social as Delicious. I can't easily find your Delicious account, for example. Or sorry, your Pinboard account if you're on it. Whereas in Delicious you could easily share content amongst others.
I wouldn't look because I haven't got one.
Yeah, so it's just one of these things. It's, I think a lot of people moving over have been like, ah, and the guys always said that Pinboard wasn't about being social. It was always about it was just a fast service for you to store your bookmarks.
And they're now faced with the eternal headache of now they've got a big user base where they had a small one before. Keeping everyone happy is going to be very difficult.
It is, but I'm got fair play to them. They switched off a whole load of services just due to the traffic they had. They're all back on now, and it's working like a charm. I'm bookmarking crazy. There's a whole of different areas I had put in bookmarks, and I just wasn't putting them in the right place. And Pinboard's now it for me.
Good stuff. So I guess in maybe a few weeks' time, after Christmas, we'll find out whether it's still proving useful.
That sounded ominous.
Well, it's one of those, it's like delicious, used it for ages, then stopped. And is this going to be the same, basically?
Thanks for that.
And if I was Pinboard, good for them cashing in while they can. Right. Film industry is still out to get Newsbin, even though Newsbin died. Newsbin resurrected itself in a different form of Newsbin 2. Obviously nothing to do with the original company, but effectively a clone. And now the Motion Picture Association, I guess that's the MPA, want BT to block access to this website. And they've been lobbying, I guess, for them to do that. Now, BT and other ISPs, obviously...
Well, it's not just lobbying. They've went to court.
Okay, so they've gone to court to do it.
Yeah.
I guess lobbying in court. So BT and obviously all the other ISPs are very unhappy about having to do this. It's not their job to moderate the internet. Yet, I have every confidence that the MPA being the MPA will probably manage to do something along... I see them being successful, unfortunately.
No, I don't think they will be.
No? Well,
no,
I hope
because I think at the very most, all they'll do is they'll block a domain name, and it'll either be an IP address or a different domain name will point to the same content. And they're not just... it's interesting, but we keep on talking about we don't want governments to be able to shut down sites, but obviously now companies are asking other companies, or lawyers are asking other companies to do the shutdown for them. I don't think this will win. But then again,
I think for the precedent, again, you know, one company asking for another company's website to be shut down, it's not up to the MPA to shut sites down. But we'll see what happens. But again, it's interesting. Again,
do you still use it?
No, I don't. No, I generally don't.
No, neither do I. No, I genuinely know you don't.
There's other places to get that. I mean, having said that, I really don't download anything like that anyway. I'm actually a very good boy. I buy my DVDs. We'll skip over your response to that.
How dare you? How very dare you?
So Vodafone have... made me smile.
So social media fail yet again. So there's a lot of complaints recently about Vodafone and all this tax avoidance that's going on. And if you look at the news and the amount of money getting cut from councils next year, it's actually less than how much Vodafone have avoided paying in tax. So it's quite a big issue.
I think it's worth caveating that with allegedly.
No, it is.
Okay. You're happy to just put it out there?
Absolutely. So last week they were doing a competition that they would give away free handsets to lucky Twitter users who used the tag or the hashtag made me smile to tell the company what made them beam.
Seen that before, and we will see that kind of thing again.
Yep.
So what went wrong?
What went wrong was they never actually moderated it. So you could just put
when
your...
will companies learn?
You could put your hashtag on. And of course, there was loads of pictures where there's just the websites full of it's all the so egged on by Anti Cuts Group UK Uncut. There's a whole load of tweets just about Vodafone and when they pay their tax bill, that will make me smile, and a whole load of stuff around that and worse ones. But it was very, very funny, very, very funny.
So again, it's a company not thinking to moderate again. Ridiculous, really.
And the best bit was that the majority of the tweets were all about this tax issue, but they still kept twittering about, please add more content, we want you to win this phone. It was like, do you know what's happening? Was anybody actually checking this, or was it just somebody, you know, somebody sitting there twittering away thinking, yeah, this is my job today, and nobody actually checking the website to see what it looked like? It was
maybe they were just trying not to raise attention, but anyway, the attention had been raised. It was the highest trending topic.
It was fantastic.
Again, yes, I'm pretty sure that eventually companies will learn to not actually put... I mean, you can't moderate Twitter flow, but you can certainly moderate what's going on to your own website.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean,
it seems sensible.
And I mean, you can't... I mean, if anybody followed the hashtag, they can't obviously control that.
No.
But
I would very much like one of the tax cutters to actually be the one that won.
That would be awesome. You didn't pay your tax bill, but I got a free phone.
Yeah. Might put better sentiment. We have been seeing massive problems due to the snow and ice, I guess I should say. And companies have had, I mean, obviously this year is probably going to be our biggest online year ever. It's almost like the perfect storm of weather stopping deliveries just in time for Christmas. But companies have actually come out now and said, flat out, we cannot take any more orders for Scotland specifically. And we can't guarantee that deliveries are going to take place before Christmas. Their mail centres are absolutely stacked and backed up, and they've got to get rid of the stuff that's already in before they can take any more on. Maybe they were ready if everything was running perfectly, but they certainly weren't ready for the snow, were they?
No, and I guess what surprised...
Understandably.
It is understandable. I mean, the snow, I know you've got it down there now. Up here, I think we've had 2 or 3 weeks of this now. Yeah. Particularly on the East Coast and up north, it's been really badly affected. But it was just, I mean, Marks and Spencer's, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Amazon, Boots and Parcel Force on Monday all suspended deliveries to Scottish customers. And they've actually said, if you're ordering it, we probably won't get it to you by Christmas time. And obviously the local retailers, and when I'm saying local, it doesn't mean it's a tiny little shop. All the big chains are out now advertising and saying, online's let you down. Come and buy it from us and we'll help you. We'll help you spend your money.
Yeah, of course they will. Of course they will, because they've been empty all this year.
And I mean, there's a couple of the guys I follow on Twitter through in Edinburgh, and they're big Amazon Prime users. So obviously Amazon Prime's right out the window right now. You know, this idea of being ordering something and it'll appear at my doorstep tomorrow is just gone. And CityLink, and I hate CityLink. CityLink with a passion, just the worst. I remember picking up a parcel from them and just seeing them
always damaged.
Well, I saw the guy literally emptying one of the big containers and just throwing all the boxes until he found mine, and all he did was curse and swear at me as well. Great example of customer service. And I just thought, I'm never using them again. If possible, I will actually avoid using them. And On Monday, they had a backlog of 20,000 parcels at Edinburgh sorting office. And I think by Thursday, it was 40,000 backlog. So they ain't going to get through that fast.
No. And I'll say, I don't know if I should say this, really, but I know that the South West have had massive, massive backlogs, especially of Amazon orders. Amazon are making a mint this Christmas, I tell you. But yeah, stacked up in every single spare space they had, including a marquee and in their delivery yard where all the lorries are supposed to be. They were just wishing or hoping that it wasn't going to rain. They reckon snow they could deal with because they could brush it off, but rain, they were screwed. And luckily it didn't. I guess it's one of those things where that's the downside of online deliveries, you know, getting items to you out in severe weather. And I don't like the people that are absolutely moaning flat out, because, you know, there's nothing a delivery company can really do to cater for that. I think as we go forward, they might find better systems. But, you know, you've got the option to go and pick up from delivery offices, I guess.
Well, three interesting good stories. So one is that, I mean, certainly Parcel Force are out delivering on Sundays. So
yes,
they are.
I've seen that Sunday deliveries here as well.
So I got a Sunday delivery last week, and I'm just looking across the road and seeing somebody else just getting a parcel delivered. Yeah. So, I mean, fair play, they are looking to be doing as much as they can. The second, just when you talk about Amazon, again, story from Twitter, the guy had ordered a Kindle for either his parents or his wife. He'd ordered it, you know, end of November. It's not come through. It's lost somewhere in CityLink. But Amazon actually shipped another one via a different courier and got it to him within 2 days.
So yeah, and I've had two packages go missing from Amazon and they have replaced them both. So
yep,
good
so,
stuff.
So fair play to Amazon. And the third one for me was interesting. I bought two posters, and they shipped on Monday from Texas with the delivery date of Thursday. And I thought, no chance, it's just going to, and it was via FedEx. And I thought, there's no way they're going to get here this week. They arrived on Wednesday. So that was amazing. I couldn't believe it.
It's either that or someone's pretending. He only lives down the road. I guess that's because FedEx isn't a big, widely used company in this country. I mean, not for online deliveries for every day. So perfect choice, really.
Fantastic.
It's DHL, TNT, and the Royal Mail that's suffering over here, really.
And Citylink, just because they're rubbish.
Yeah. Home delivery networks seem to be...
Oh, Amazon's. They're guff.
They're better than...
They City, are absolute they? Guff. Come on.
They're probably going to be the same company in the background, aren't they? Right. Okay, so... Apple have announced that their app store for their desktop product is going to be launched on January the 6th. That's quite exciting. Yay! Sorry. The look of excitement on Ian's face was incomprehensible. So this is basically the app store idea from the mobile phones that we've seen being delivered inside the desktop. I think it's an interesting idea. I think it's a logical step, but I can't see how if Apple are going to take a cut on the App Store, why don't you just go find, you know, use the App Store as a search device, finding popularity and, you know, good apps, and then go direct to the developer. I don't know if there are rules against that, but the internet's pretty good at searching out developers.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly when the iOS App Stores came about, there was a whole load of, because everybody just said there'll be a Mac one eventually. And a lot of the developer community were like, no chance. There's no way I'm just giving over 30%. And then obviously they saw the sales that you could have. And it's the difference between you setting up a website and trying to get the PR against your app appearing. And it might be one of the picks or new this week that just is in front of 30 million people or 40 million people. It's very hard. And I think it's very hard for a developer to ignore it now. Certainly, there's a whole lot of developers that were very against it are now all doing their damnedest to make sure their apps are in there. But there are rules and regulations again, and it's quite restrictive.
Also, desktop environment for applications is not like a mobile environment. You know, are we really going to download to the desktop lots of tiny little one feature applications?
No, but
one
I think,
task applications.
But I think the iPad App Store is quite different from the iPhone one. There's a lot more utilities, there's a lot more productivity tools. You still get the one task thing, you still get the kind of flash equivalent games, I'm not going to deny that, but you also get some very, very, very rich applications on there. And I think what the rumours are all pointing to is the new iWork suite will be launched on the same day by Apple.
But yeah, fair enough. I mean, and I guess if it's an easy way of getting your apps, you know, it's almost like a Steam network. So the Steam for games, it's going to be a bit like that for applications. But I don't see the buzz around it as great as, you know, all these tiny little fun things that you buy for 59p. I think that's part of the success of the online, you know, mobile app stores, is that you can pick up a lot of stuff for free and very, very cheap or good as free. I'm yet to see. I see it as an interesting concept, but I don't know why. A developer, you put it on the App Store, but then also sell direct for cheaper. That's what I'd do if there's no rules against it.
And I think the problem is it's new, and also, what do you do for people that have? I mean, if I've already bought a license for an app, and then a developer puts it in the App Store, am I paying for it again? If it's different in any way, am I paying for an upgrade? Can I offer an upgrade?
Is it the same app or is it a different app?
There's a whole kind of grey area in there, and nobody knows. I think it will be evolving over the coming sort of 3 to 6 months.
And if, you know, when a developer wants to release patches and things, they still have to go back through the QA process. Does Apple set up to QA massive applications rather than little, you know?
Apps, well,
you
know? As I said, some of the apps, I know you're saying little apps, but some of them are absolutely mammoth now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
You know, there's a lot in there, and a lot of very detailed apps, and even just size wise. I mean, one of the Infinity Sword game that came out last week is over a gig.
Wow.
And that's an iPad. That?
Mind you, when I downloaded Myst onto the iPhone,
exactly.
It was also about a gig. Right.
Wow. Those tiny, tiny apps.
Gorillas.
But in some ways, it's no different to Google are obviously doing their App Store as well.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I think it's just that everybody's seen the success of app stores and now want to try and make sure they have a solution for it.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. I just don't know whether it's going to.
Oh, I don't like
on.
The rules. The rules in it are really restrictive.
Yeah, and we'll see whether Google can manage their completely open empire. Whether it gets messy. So Gorillaz have released a free iPad album. Now, is this? Am I right that they recorded this all using iPads?
Yep. So
like that?
Damon Albarn has recorded and produced a brand new and entirely new Gorillaz album on the iPad, and it will be released for free on Christmas Day on the iPad.
Now, I wonder whether it's free because it's not very good.
and that was my kind of thoughts. It was like, But then,
whether it's just they want I guess everyone with their new iPads on Christmas Day, great, what am I going to download? Well, I'm going to download the Gorillaz site. It's probably a very clever marketing ploy, actually. But their last album I didn't particularly like, so I don't know why I'd like something produced on an iPad.
I was absolutely that? Loved it, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
You nutter.
What do you mean? There's no accounting for taste.
No, there's not. another app. I'm going to call this the Voodoo app.
This is
unbelievable.
Yep.
It's called Word Lens, made by Quest Visual. Now, it is, I guess you'd describe it as an augmented reality app, which can look through your iPhone at text that is appearing, I guess, on a notice board or... I guess it's got to be computer text, hasn't it?
Well, printed text, they're saying, and preferably bigger text as well. So,
and it takes it, if it's in a foreign language, it will remove the foreign language and replace it in identical fashion with the translation. There is a video on their website, which I urge you to go and have a look at. It's called questvisual.com, and it is unbelievable. I don't know if I did a very good job at describing that. But
no, it is... It is one of these things, you look at it and you think, that's a mock-up. There's no way that's doing that.
I would like to see it working in real life because it's just perfect. It's so the video is of a woman holding up cards, and the cards have, I think it's, is it Spanish?
So at the moment, the only dictionaries I've got are Spanish to English and English to Spanish, with more to come.
And the card's holding up a phrase, and it's things that, you know, they're just showing example cards and basically through the iPhone you see it and it's written in English. It's unbelievable.
No, that's free, so you can download it for free, and it'll do things like it'll take a sign and it'll reverse the words just to try and give you the impression that it is working. And if you want to buy the translation pack, then it's $2.99 per pack.
So I it's voodoo. I think someone had to sell their soul to get this working. It's just
I've seen one guy on Twitter just saying it's a bit lame in real life.
That's what I'd like to see now, because it's very easy showing those big cards.
But I have seen
bold and contrasty.
A large amount of people who have got it and say they cannot believe how good it works. So amazing.
It's what I think that's worth a buy just to see how it works.
I'll look forward to your review.
Well, I don't know that many Spanish things.
See.
I'll have to go to Spain for a review. PS3 have added even more on-demand content. They are going for it in a big way. So they've got a tie-in now with ITV and Channel 4. So they've got ITV, Channel 4 and iPlayer, so BBC Network, all as their on-demand content. Wow. Now that is starting to get very, very compelling.
Wow, indeed. I just think it's a really good device. See, for your, you know, for the spare room or whatever, if you're going to buy a media room somewhere, don't buy a Blu-ray player, just buy one of these. You know, it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, and if they're willing to make deals with ITV and Channel 4, then this will be our equivalent of our Roku box.
Yeah,
and this has got all the licenses you want to be a great device. So that's a little box which streams American content in the same kind of way that our on-demand players do. But if you had a PS3 in this country, I don't think anything offers better, really.
No, and I think the interesting thing for me was that the ITV, this is our first kind of partnership. So previously, ITV always said no. If you want our content, come to us. And I think they're realising that that's not obviously the best way.
That's not what consumers want.
No. And
yes, and it's moving Xbox further and further behind in this field, isn't it?
Yeah, which is I'm really surprised because it used to be Microsoft used to do all the they used to do all the that netcast kind of demo with BT, and they talked about how they're bringing TV to it, and the only thing they've got is Sky, which is a subscription package.
Yeah, you have to pay for it, which is
and you just think a lot of these on-demand things, surely the cost to Microsoft's not that great to get these up and running.
I think that we've heard before that the reason BBC don't want to go down the route is because the streaming is that Microsoft will have to hold it behind their Xbox Live Gold accounts, which is a paid for account, and BBC aren't happy with the fact that you have to pay to get access to the content. But the things like ITV and Channel 4, there's no reason why, because they're ad supported anyway, and they've got the system set up, and pretty much ITV and Channel 4 have both said that it's not because they've denied Microsoft the access to it. It's because Microsoft haven't come and asked.
Yeah,
basically.
But I do think Sony are seeing the PS3 as something different to what Microsoft are.
I think you're right. I think as a compelling device going forward, they may have a good concept there. We have seen a lot of released videos for new games and exciting games for next year. And they all seem to come out on the same day. Was there a reason they came out the same day?
Yeah, it was a Spike Video Game Awards.
Ah.
So this seems to now be the kind of the main. Rather than and you get some stuff at E3. And E3, they're always talking about the Christmas games. And it seems to be around about this VGA. They'll do the kind of big video release of the AAA titles for next year, and there are quite a few.
Aye. So we have seen Forza 4 opening. I guess it's a teaser trailer. We don't know yet whether
that trailer was awful.
It looked quite sexy though,
right? So there's no in-game graphics, and really badly right at the end they'd slapped in a Top Gear logo and made no reference to what it meant.
It's as a lot of release intros like that, they never really show you what the game's all about.
So
it's just there to get you knowing that it's in development, getting a little bit excited. That Ford GT looked nice, but it was probably just pre-rendered. Anyway, we'll see. I imagine Forza haven't really let us down yet. They've released some excellent games, so I imagine
they have. I just feel they're falling into the Gran Turismo trap of same tracks and not much new.
Yeah,
and I have a fear that if the new thing is really Kinect and being able to look around your car and drive with it a wheel and all that kind of stuff, then
sounds a bit wanky.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know, just a bit worried about that. And the Top Gear reference was to American Top Gear as well.
Top Gear?
Yeah, exactly.
What are they on about? They can't do Top Gear.
No, they have. BBC have sold the franchise or sold the license, so they can. There is no American Top Gear.
I know that it's the BBC Top Gear that everyone craves over in America, though, still.
Yes.
They like our quirkiness. Right.
Uncharted 3.
Exciting.
Yes. The first Uncharted was good. Uncharted 2 was a stunning game. Uncharted 3,
looking good already. I mean, they did release some in-game graphics, didn't they?
Yes.
And this is a kind of almost Tomb Raider on steroids, I guess, isn't it, really?
Yes.
But that was all good. So that's looking at release November next year.
Yes. Well, they're all basically September, October, November. That's the.
It's an early look at their Christmas games for next year, basically.
Yes.
Isn't it? So, Mass Effect 3. That's going to be exciting. Did you play Mass Effect 2?
No.
It's a fantastic game. It's I think overall, it's probably one game of the year from most websites. And I haven't downloaded the downloadable extras, but apparently they're also awesome. They've kept the momentum going, and I think it's going to go down as one of those great trilogies in history. I never played the first one, but the second one was awesome. We've also seen Batman Arkham City. I never played Arkham Asylum, but apparently it was an awesome game.
Yeah, did I
might actually pick that up on Classic.
Yeah, there was just too many when it came out. There was too many other games. It was just a bad time.
It was one of those sleeper hits that not as many people played, but actually was an awesome game. So I think I'm going to dig that out on Classic. Resistance 3, I don't know much about that.
Resistance was one of the launch titles for PS3, and they were touting it as a Halo killer, and it wasn't. And then Resistance 2 came out, and it was better. And some of the online things they tried to do, because they had, instead of it like peer-to-peer, they actually had hosted games, and they had 64-player games, and some of them were quite good, and it was trying to encourage a kind of team strategy. You know, you work as a unit and all that kind of good stuff. And I thought it was okay, but it just you could see the difference between, and when I'm saying polish, I don't mean graphical polish. You could just see the difference between, you know, something like a Bungie game where it just feels so solid from day one, and this, which just felt lacking. You know, and it's hard to invest time in it when you've got both consoles sitting there, and you just know it's just not as good. It's just like, oh, and you just don't invest any time really.
And so finally, the game of the year announced at Spike VGA. So that was Red Dead Redemption. They gave it to you. Although, as I've already said, I think most sites that I've been around and have released their awards already, Mass Effect 2 seems to have just edged it.
Mm.
But I would just like to say, for me, Red Dead Redemption won my game of the year, hands down. I absolutely loved it. Start to finish, it's epic.
Cool.
We have had the traditional now year in reviews from all our social providers and other associated. So Google released a video called Google Zeitgeist, showing search trends, I guess.
The show search trends, Twitter have done one as well. So they've been kind of taking you through what was the most retweeted, who's the newest people that are popular, all that kind of good stuff. Facebook have done one as well. Apple have got their kind of best apps. And there's a couple other ones in there from like Pitchfork and Last.fm, just showing you what was the most, you know, picked music. But I think probably the best bit is I'll just throw them all into show notes. And you can browse through them at your leisure.
I'd forgotten about Chat Roulette.
How could you forget Chat Roulette?
How could you forget it?
Oh, scary.
Were there any interesting ones in there that you had either forgotten about or... If we whack them up, it's fine, but...
I need to open up the site to remember them again.
Yeah.
That's preparation for you.
Whatever then.
To be honest, not really. You know, nothing really stood out as being too much of a surprise. Obviously, you just need to watch, because by default you end up looking at the American one on Google. So a lot of the people are just like, "Who the hell is that?"
Yeah.
United Kingdom, you know, fastest rising, Chat Roulette, Formspring. Is that a surprise? Do you remember Formspring?
No.
No. Well, that's number two fastest rising search term this year. Formspring was a formspring.me was a website, and you could set up like a crisp page, and then people can ask you questions. So how did you get to be a voiceover artist? And then you can reply. So there was it got very popular with the kind of techie guys, and then it just fell away very quickly as it was. There's no real...
Yeah, I wonder whether fastest rising also means fastest falling.
Well,
I
think it'll be fastest falling next year. So there's iPad and Justin Bieber World Cup, Santander, Hotmail signing was one of the fastest rising ones.
Hacked, didn't they?
So most popular, Facebook, BBC, YouTube, Hotmail, eBay, Google, You, Games, Mail, News.
So... Yeah, so nothing particularly surprising anyway. Anyway, so we'll whack them in the show notes and you can have a peek around. Or links to them, I guess, is probably easier.
What's probably more important is, what did we like?
What did what?
What did we like in 2010?
Yes, I think that... Hey, segue. I think... I guess 2010 has been quite a big year. It's our first full year as Digital Outbox.
Woo!
Exciting. we've somehow managed to stroll on through. This year has also been better than last year. Last year was pretty, well, everyone was struggling with money and stuff, and there wasn't a lot being released, I guess. This year has been a lot better. But I thought, I'm looking forward to 2011 as well. So I am going to say that, I guess, gaming-wise, there are two games that, for me, are looking awesome next year. One is L.A. Noire. Now, that is a kind of gangster... I guess it's along the same lines as is it made by the GTA guys?
Yes.
So it's made by the same guys that make GTA and Red Dead, and they are making a gangster game, and it's just unbelievably good looking game. They, because it's all about people lying and you sort of getting the truth out of people, they have concentrated a massive amount of energy on getting faces right. And it is unbelievable the detail that they've got into a game. It's pretty much they are virtual actors in this rather than game characters.
It just
they
shows
are the real people.
I was going to say, it shows you the life we've still got in the current generation of consoles. You know, it looks a step up.
It's faces have never been the strongest part of games, generally speaking, but they've got it cracked on this. I mean, it's, my only concern with it is it's almost like the game is a movie now, in that they actually have to get the actors acting all this out physically in a studio for us to then enjoy it in a game. It's kind of a bizarre concept, but it's quite exciting in the same way. Also, Portal 2. Now, I'm confident it's not going to be a bad game, because but I want it to be absolutely brilliant. I think it's going to be.
Oh, I think it will be.
It's looking good. I mean, from what
they can't
released,
mess up. They can't mess
some
up.
Of it looks ultra complicated now, as in, you know, there's some concepts in there that are looking really quite difficult to get your head around.
That's my only niggle. Are you going to get to a level which is just going to, you know,
how do I actually do that?
It's just going to melt your brain.
For me, the multiplayer stuff looks unbelievable, because it's adding an extra level of complexity in that you need to work with someone else to actually
But if I think back to original Portal, I mean, it was one of these, 5, 6 hour, 10 hour kind of games. And
it was
superb. I just
memorable
loved
from
it.
Start to finish.
Yep. The music, just, it was very quirky. And I think you had to go and remember a bit more on open mind. It wasn't your typical game.
It made you think in a very different way.
Yes. It was just the fact that there was also different ways of solving it, and sometimes it was luck, sometimes it was total skill. You know, it was just, I loved it.
And they handheld you through the opening concepts of that, so I'm sure they'll handheld you through the new stuff that they've got in this one.
I think of how much I enjoy co-op on a game like Halo. How much is co-op going to be good in this? It's going to be amazing. It's got
a lot of blooming talking and frustration.
It's got the potential to be amazing. That's all I'll say.
Okay, and I guess the other thing I'm really looking forward to next year is Chrome OS. Now, we're on the verge of it now, I think. I'm looking forward to trying this out, and actually, I would probably have a netbook to do it.
No, get a grip.
I think it's exciting.
It's a browser.
It's part.
You're
excited
by a browser.
I know, and it probably will end up just feeling like a browser, and therefore I won't be that excited. But I think there's something about it. I just like the concept of it. And I think it's not just what it is. I think it might spur more and more cloud services, which I think is the way we're heading.
I think if it wasn't so much the Chrome OS and here's the hardware and here you need this and this, if it was just this, here's your working environment and wherever you go, you can just sign into Chrome and there's your working environment and you can crack on. And I think that is where it's going to head to.
Anyway, so have you got any others that you're looking for 2000?
No, I mean, Alienware and Portal 2 really do stand out for me as well. Uncharted 3 and Uncharted 2 was a very, very good game. So I've got high hopes for Uncharted 3. And to a lesser extent, I guess, in the Mac side, you've got Lion coming out. And at the moment, they've really only showed you little teasers, and they've all been fairly small. You know, and I just think there's another...
Well, do you see them? The announcement being quite big for this one, then?
Well... I'm not sure.
What can they do? They've got a sorted operating system, haven't they? Maybe make maximizing Windows and resizing Windows better.
Yes. I mean, I think there's some stuff. There's some stuff. Well, I don't know. I never really have much of a problem, but there's some...
You don't have a problem when the bottom right-hand corner of your Windows down by the taskbar and just trying to get it wider?
No.
Must be my fat fingers then.
Well, there's a truth. And I guess it's the whole bit for me next year, I think, is just what's going to happen with tablets. Everybody's talked about them this year, and they're still really only, well, there's two now, I guess. You can go and buy an iPad, you can go and buy a Galaxy Tab. But I think next year, and I guess we'll see a lot of them at CES. Next year, I think.
Well, we saw a lot last year, but we might see some more fleshed out things this year.
Yeah, I mean, I know Microsoft are going to do a Tab announcement, which I'm sure they did last year. I still remember them standing there with a slate device and say, this is coming soon.
Eh? And they got slated.
Oh, brunch. So, but I guess for me, it's iPad 2 and iPhone 5.
Yes, they're both big. I mean, we went. So the iPhone we're out towards, is it middle to end of the year? Is that
iPhone's usually kind of like May, June time.
Oh, okay.
And iPad, it just depends really on what you believe. iPad last year came out in April, but a lot of the time. A lot of the time with a kind of first release, they'll do a release and then maybe like 9-10 months later they'll actually bring out the second gen. So there's lots of people talking about February time as a release. Now whether it's a here's iPad 2 and it'll be out in April, who knows, but I think it'll be, you know, first quarter more than second.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do. I mean, it's, you can probably predict a large prediction, but a large proportion of what they will end up doing, because they're not going to reinvent this thing.
No, and cameras are a given. You know, I think
cameras are surely a given. I mean, we've said that before, and that's not happened. So.
No, but I think the case manufacturers, a lot of leaks from different case manufacturers.
Yeah, but we hear
now.
It all the time.
Yeah, no,
I'm totally over this whole rumor stuff.
No,
that goes on.
Cameras are a given,
because a ton of it has been bullcrap. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and I guess the iPhone is just going to be another step increment rather than, I don't think it's going to be a revolution.
And I'm not fussed about so much the iPhone. I've got an iPhone.
You say that.
No,
now.
No. Hold on. I'm not so fussed about the iPhone 5 from the hardware point of view, because I don't think there's going to be too much different this year. You know, I think the Retina display, I can't see them really being able to improve on that.
Why
much.
Would they want to improve on it? There's no need. They've already said that it's as high resolution as we can ever perceive.
Yep, and nobody else is touching it. I mean, I think the Nexus S is getting close, but it's still not there.
It's definitely nowhere near, really.
No, so they seem to be going on things like, well, our screen's maybe bigger, so it's 4 inches rather than 3.5, or it's brighter, or you can see the darks better. So I think they're trying to emphasise maybe other things. But it's more the iOS. It's just to see what is next. You know, I look at things like the Google Maps that came out for Android this week, which just looks amazing.
It's almost, yeah, I guess it's almost like they'd be better having a development schedule for iOS rather than their hardware. I think their hardware can cope. I mean, the problem is that iOS has to cater for still phones like mine, you know, the 3G, which is now well out of date. So I guess they have to maintain that kind of functionality, but maybe they need to branch. Maybe they do need to branch.
I think they'll just drop it. I think you'll find they'll drop 3G.
So you'll never get any updates. This is the definitive version. That's it. And I think that's only sensible, because otherwise they're never going to fully maximize what they've already got.
No.
So they could probably release a new iOS 2 or 3 times a year if they wanted.
I think
Apple
have been harder than other companies and actually not so much not supporting, but just saying, here's your upgrade paths. If you want these features, here's where you need to go. Mm. You know, and have been quite aggressive even on the desktop front. You know, and I think it's worked.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so likely purchases then for 2011. There's two things on my shopping list. I've got pretty much everything I wanted at the moment, but I am
recession.
Tempted by
what
a
recession?
Yeah. Well, like last year, last year was my recession. This year's been better. The Nexus S effectively the next Google phone built by Samsung is very tempting at the moment. Now, I guess, can I hold on with my existing phone until I see the iPhone 5? I don't know. Will that just muddy the waters? I'm very tempted by it anyway. And that's probably a good chance for a purchase, because it's unlocked, because I know I'm going to get the latest Google every time the operating system every time it's released. And I know I can do other things like, use it like a MiFi or tethering and things like that.
I think it's a really, really good purchase.
It's a good proposition. I think it's the future as well.
I always feel a bit unsure about the other Android devices, you know, just because each manufacturer's got their own little flavour and spin, and that kind of always puts me off a bit. But the fact that you've got this one, and you know, as you're saying, it's just this pure Google experience.
Yeah.
And it looks gorgeous. The phone looks utterly gorgeous. Famous.
I mean, when you put it next to the latest HTC, you know, their big desire and things like that, it looks, I guess, more average. But I think, say, for the overall proposition, it's good, and the screen apparently is awesome. Anyway, that's a good chance for that. And I'm also, the only lens I'm really missing in my repertoire now is probably a good macro lens, so I'm quite interested in doing some macro photography, but they cost a fortune. More than you'd ever imagine. So I guess, yeah, any purchases on the horizon? There always are with you.
Well, I'm you say that like I am some gadget fiend, and I'm looking at the list of stuff you've bought this year. Now, fair enough, I've deleted some of mine. So for me, it's probably going to be definitely the iMac. I've resisted the MacBook Air, and I still want one so much, but I really have a problem with how much duplication I then have between the iMac, the MacBook Air, the iPad, and the iPhone, and also what the Mac Mini's doing for me. It just feels like too much. And that's why I keep stopping myself from buying one. They look utterly gorgeous.
And a MacBook Air, again, this is the voice of reason, coming in at near enough a grand, is that about right? You can buy the lowest spec iMac for that kind of money, and you get a whole lot more.
No, absolutely, but it's not mobile. And I think if I was in a different job, see if I was doing at my work what I'm doing at home, that kind of thing, a MacBook Air would have been a no-brainer. It would have been an absolute no-brainer, but I just kept stopping myself.
I think
myself.
A MacBook Pro with a solid-state drive is surely a more of a no-brainer, but that's just my...
Nah, I'm fed up carrying all the weight around. Fed up carrying my work laptop around.
That's true. I've not felt the weight of a MacBook Air. MacBook Pros aren't that heavy, are they? Anyway, so whatever.
Once you had a MacBook Air in your hand, you realise how heavy it is.
Right, okay.
So I think a new iMac for me this year. This is now 4.5 years old, still chugging away.
And still probably doing a good job. I mean... good stuff.
Yeah, so and I've got logic here. I'm thinking that I'll probably pick up the new iPad but try and resist the iPhone, but I see this every year and then I'm just like, I just had to buy one.
Yeah, it's I mean, it is like sweeties at a sweet store. Okay, they're blooming expensive, but they are quite exciting products when they're released. I don't actually see the phone as being revolutionary next year, and I don't even see the pad as being revolutionary. We're going to see a couple of cameras, and I think bring it in line with what the phone does already.
I think it's a fact that it'll bring us in line with the phone, but it's more see if they just bumped up the resolution. And I don't think you're going to get a Retina display. I just don't think it's possible to get that pixel density on a screen size the size of an iPad.
Well, you could probably get the pixel density, whether you've got the processing power and the heat absorption to.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think so. But then you don't need it to be that high, do you?
I think you'll get an increased resolution. So I think the increased resolution, I think just being a slightly better... What's that?
Proper widescreen?
Nah, I doubt it. No,
not even 16:9 to watch your movies?
Nah, I doubt it. I don't think so.
Do you not find it's a bug? Do the black bars not bug you?
No. Never have. But I know some people hate it.
I would hate it.
I remember when widescreen tellies came out and I was showing people like my DVDs and they were saying, why have you got black bars? Yeah. And it's like, because that's proper cinema display. Oh, I hate that. And it's like, but that's how you should be watching it.
But why? I mean, that's the thing about widescreens. You know, if you're watching a widescreen display on a 4:3 or, whatever, that's different perspective, you actually see a smaller screen than you would if you had go and buy
one of the Philips tellies and shut your hole.
Oh, shit.
Oh. I'll edit that out.
Gone bright red.
All excited. Yeah. And I do want a new lens. So this is my first year with my DSLR.
What are you looking for?
A big, I need zoom. I need length. So I really do miss that.
When you look around photographers, they kind of rave over your kind of the 17-200 one. It costs a fortune again, but they reckon that's the only lens they need if 200's a deep enough zoom for you.
I want more.
And you always want more. I've got a 70-300 and I just want a 600 now.
More. At some point I'll wear a new lens. Because I really enjoyed the 550D this year, which I've hardly ever mentioned in the podcast, I don't think, that I picked up. It was one of these ones I picked up, and then because I had the Nikon fanboy shack, I was always a bit, didn't want to get in a debate around lenses and cameras when I don't have the knowledge, because you just be like, you just get shot down with facts.
And I guess the final thing I want to do in a sort of a yearly review is our best purchases of the year. And I still don't know what my best one is, but I've listed out kind of my bigger purchases here. So I've had my MacBook Pro, my Kindle, my Kinect. So they're my biggest kind of purchases. A couple of bits of software which I've enjoyed. So Zara Designer Pro 6, which is brilliant. Camtasia Studio.
And your PS3.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I grade that on a...
So you've bought a PS3?
maybe.
Kept it. How long have you had a PS3 for, Chris?
I'm not sure. Maybe about 3 weeks now.
Okay.
Because pretty much when GT5 got released, I caved.
Yeah, I just remember the bull that you talked on that podcast when you were at GT5. Yeah, it's not really something to buy a console over, is it? And I saw that grayed out yesterday, and I'm thinking, you cock.
So yes, I do have a PS3, and I've been enjoying my PS3. Actually, it's tell you what, as a user, it is an unbelievably frustrating download system. you can never play or do anything because you're always waiting for something to download, update. So it does get or install. All these things just were frustrating. However, it's quite interesting to see it as this fully fleshed out system, which is a complete alternative and a different world or different ecosystem to the Xbox. I still think the Xbox is more tied up and sleeker, but I think that we've been talking today about the PlayStation 3 offering more and more on-demand content, and I think if it can get that sorted,
but there's loads.
It's a really, really compelling device.
Yeah, because you've got your TV content, which is all there sitting for free. You've got movies to rent and buy, which is great. And you've got your things like even I'm trying to remember its name, that Shaquille recommended, the music video service.
I can't remember. It was a while ago.
You can install that, and again, there's thousands of videos there. It is really, really good. I just think as an overall platform, it's very solid. Just a pity that I just feel the games are always just not there.
Yeah, it's a gaming platform. It's second fiddle to the Xbox. Mm. And if you're a gamer, and you're overly worried about getting the best experience, especially online, Xbox still wins. But if you're more looking for media sharing around your house, because it's got a massive amount of codecs and streaming options and stuff, so it's pretty clever stuff.
And
it upscales DVDs very well.
I couldn't believe it when I first got the PS3. First of all, the Blu-ray playback was excellent, and secondly, when I compared it to my £500 DVD player, which was a Denon and had won rave reviews, it was upscaling better than that.
Yeah,
and I was like, what? It is a really, really good media player, and I've recommended to people before if they're looking for a kind of media PC, that is a really, really strong option. It's quite silent. It gives you lots more capability. Don't discount it.
Yep. And it's going to be with us for a few more years yet, so get in now and get on there.
Anyway, so what's your best? Name me one. What is your best purchase?
I think maybe my PS3 is going to prove that. I mean, I haven't had it that long. I think it might prove to be my best purchase. I do like my MacBook Pro, but I only use it like I use any other laptop. Nothing here. There's nothing...
Drip.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't use it in any other special or different way. I actually just basically use it as a web browser, which is a bit of a sick use of a nice big MacBook Pro. Never mind. I enjoy the Kindle. I'm just waiting for to see where they go with that more than anything. I like it as a bit of technology. See where they go in 2011. I think it's going to be a big year for that. And I like my little camera, my HD cam, Logitech C930. It's good. If expensive for for a webcam. I think my favorite, I'm going to say, is my PS3.
Good choice. Surprising.
Are you?
Surprising.
Yeah, very surprising.
Considering 3 weeks ago.
I've got to keep you on your edge and keep you on your toes,
Yeah. So, well, I'll do the same.
Go on. Yes, what's yours?
So I bought quite a bit. Not as much as you. I hastened to.
You probably did.
No. So there's obvious ones like iPad and iPhone. And also at the turn of the year, I picked up a Mac Mini and a Drobo. Coupled with it, I've picked up a Sony Bravia about sort of 3-4 months ago. That whole combination is just working so well for me. So with Plex running my media software, joy.
And you can pretty much, I guess get and stream whatever you want to down to your TV.
Yeah, exactly. And even through to the, I've got MAME installed, I've got all the arcade games, I've got the Street Fighter 2 massive joystick pad thing that I bought for the PS3. There's a driver came out so you can plug that in. And it is just like a blooming arcade machine sitting there. There's just so many different things on it that I really love. So I'm really quite chuffed with how that's all worked out. And I picked up my as I said, my 550D, which I really, really love. But as soon as I got it, I just wanted better lenses. It's just...
Yeah, so I don't think that ever goes away.
It's shocking.
Yes, when you're buying a camera and you think, oh, that body's expensive, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Exactly.
You wait till next year when you're trying to get the lenses, yeah?
Well, I've got a couple of lenses just now, but you know, one was on 100 quid, the other one was 400 quid. And it's not a bad lens, but you can just see its shortcomings.
But 400 quid is a cheap lens.
I know.
And that's what I can't get my head around.
I know.
I mean, I think that's a very expensive lens.
I know.
But then you go and look at the metal-bodied equivalents with, you know, massive apertures. It's just amazing.
But the way I'm looking at it is it's an investment over time. The lens doesn't have to, you know, I mean, I don't have to buy...
The lens will outlast the body by a long time. Exactly. You buy a lens once, exactly. You buy the body many times.
Just check your insurance. That's all I'd say.
Yeah, you're carrying that bad boy around, yeah.
Well, it's more just it's when you add up how much you're actually carrying around. It's scary. It's like, you know, in my rucksack, I might have an iPad, and I've got an iPhone 4 in my pocket. I've got the camera. I've got these two or three lenses. You're looking at like 3-4 grand worth of gear.
Serious amounts of money, yeah.
Walking around Glasgow at kind of 20 past midnight, trying to get a shot of the River Clyde at night. Robbed me. Bring it. I picked up the podcast to make, which I really do like.
That's one thing I was going to say. I'm probably going to pick up some sort of mic next year as well.
But
that's a good purchase for you, isn't it?
One of my favourite ones, and it's the one I get laughed at, was my Withings or Withings scale.
It's my favourite purchase for you all year.
I just love it. And I love the fact that I don't need to think about you know, logging my weight anywhere. And I think I'm getting more obsessed about logging data. I think I'm going to be doing more of this next year. So I'm thinking about getting like a Fitbit and tracking all my kind of walking around and what do I do and all that kind of nonsense. And I guess, and the second benefit is if my weight starts going up, Shaq just will send me a tweet and saying, bit fat today, yeah? And it's total, you know, like social pressure.
Like going on to your Weight Watchers evenings.
But you mentioned when we talked about weight months, year ago, you said it's all right getting it off, it's keeping it off that's the problem, and you'll start to, and I'm like, oh no, I've put a graph up online, it's all, this is like, it's there, I can't hide.
The ultimate way of doing it is nowhere to hide.
There is nowhere to hide.
Because I've done the same to Bri, because he bought one as well. And
I just remember.
You're up and down like a yo-yo at the moment, Bri.
I just remember him giving me a right old slagging on Xbox that night. You bought what? Oh, for goodness sake. Hold the nonsense. And then 3 days later.
Yeah, then the new fat boy arrived. Yeah.
So out of all that, I'm going to see the iPad.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the iPad. And I do love all the other things, but my laptop broke through the year, and I have found it a really, really good replacement for what I was generally using the laptop for. There are times when it can't do things that I want to go and do, and I miss the laptop for it. But I'm thinking, and that's ultimately why I keep saying don't buy a MacBook Air, because for 95-96% of the time, I just don't need it.
Yep.
And I think there's certainly some of the software that's come out on it is. It's just made it a really, really useful device. But interestingly, I don't know if Shaky was here, he'd be like, I don't use it that much. He doesn't use his much at all. But
he was going to sell it on, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's got his laptop. So I think he has his go-to device, you know, around about the house is his laptop. For me, it's the iPad. Even just, you know, watching YouTube videos and consuming magazines is just really, really good on it.
Good. Right. Well, I'm aware that we're well along today. Tough. We're not going to be around for a bit, so let's plow on.
You're going to have 3 weeks to listen to this, so
yeah, you can
don't rush.
Just, you know, break. Oh, it's a bit silly telling you now. You should have broken halfway through, and then it'd been fine, wouldn't it? Yes.
And anyway,
let's go and have a look
at that. Maybe I'll do 2 episodes.
What's that?
Maybe I'll do 2 episodes.
Oh, I don't know about this. It's up to you. Can you find a good place to split?
No, and it's work, so I won't
not
be doing
now
that.
So let's have a look. I've actually got a pick this week, and Ian obviously has regularly got picks. So my pick this week is a Google Chrome extension called Cortex. Now, Cortex is, I guess it's a social sharing and blogging piece of technology. And effectively what it does is you hold your mouse over something you want to share online, and you click and hold the mouse, and up pops a wheel, I think would be the best way to describe it. Around the outside of the wheel, there are all your social providers. So let me just have a... bring up. So it has a Twitter area, a Facebook area, a Tumblr area, and an Instapaper area. So this product allows you to share whatever you're looking at onto any of those any of those services instantly, just by clicking and dragging your mouse over the area and letting go. Easy as that. And it's in practice, it works really nicely. I mean, I've signed up for each of those services. I didn't have a Tumblr and an Instapaper account, so now I've got one of those, and it's good. Really nicely realized bit of software. I mean, occasionally the wheel pops up when you're not expecting or don't want it to, especially if you're maybe using another service which requires that kind of action online anyway. But yeah, good product, and I've enjoyed it. So that's a Cortex, it's called.
I think you can get Instapaper on Kindle now. So have a little look around for Instapaper and Kindle, because I love it on both phone and iPad, just for, you know, it's an article I want to go and read and I've not got time now, into Instapaper, and then I can consume later, and it's just great. Just love it.
There you go. So a good one. How about you, Ian?
So I have a number. None really stood out this week, and on the App Store, it's just been an amazing week for new apps and games. And I think it's because
Christmas.
Well, A, it's Christmas, and B, Apple are freezing submissions on the 23rd. So I think there's a week or a week and a half, you know, period where there'll be nothing new in the App Store. So see if you're in the top 10 games on the App Store on the 23rd, you are there for a week and a half. It's basically all fixed and frozen. So there's been a few, not only new games, but Electronic Arts, every game, 59p, and that's iPad games as well. So they are just dominating.
It's cynical, isn't it?
It is a bit cynical, and especially some of the games that have dropped 59p are only a week or two old. So a week that or two ago, they are like $3.99 are now 59p. So a massive sale. If you've not bought, you know, some of their games, there's some really, really good bargains. But anyway, my picks. I had a pick probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, and it was an app called Flipboard. If you've got an iPad, you need this app. Flipboard, when it came out, it takes content and turns it into like a magazine, and you flip between pages. And that was all well and good, and you could sign up to different, you know, show me films, show me music, and show me tech followers. You could follow a Twitter list, and you could follow your own tweets, and you could follow Facebook, and it all worked quite nicely. But the update this week, I think it's just really taking it to another level. So first of all, they've got Flickr support, and it's just a really nice way of going into your Flickr account and be able to see what your friends have uploaded recently, what's new in certain groups, and, you know, and just what's new in Explore, and just being able to see them in the, you know, the full size of the screen. Really, really nice. They've also added Google Reader support, so you can go in and see all your Google Reader feeds that way as well. And the Twitter and Facebook support's just got a lot better. You can now see status updates. You can dig into your Twitter feeds a lot more. Just overall, they've just made it a fantastic tool, and it's free. And I guess their next issue is how they make money from this. And one other thing. Previously, when it came out, it was quite controversial because they were scraping content, and they were basically giving you the first couple of paragraphs of a website and then saying, read more. And a lot of people were a bit unhappy about that. They've stopped that. So it's now RSS feeds, and you are only seeing...
So they're legitimate RSS feeds rather than, scraped out content from websites. Yeah,
and they've made it a bit quicker. And I just think it's just one of these apps. It is like one of my go-to apps on the iPad. And a few new ones for you. World of Goo, which is a game that's been around for ages on, you know, PCs, Macs.
Brilliant game.
Yeah, brilliant game. Came out on iPad this week, $5.99. And just with the size and the touch device... Oh, made for each other.
Perfect.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
Yeah, I can imagine that game's actually better using your finger than it is using a mouse.
Yeah, well, I found it and I just thought that's such a winner. So that's highly recommended.
You can imagine them adding different features. I don't know if they have, but you can have multiple pickups, can't you? Because obviously with a mouse, you can only pick one goo ball up.
Yep, and I don't think they have done anything different, but they could, and you're in the world of easy updates, and who knows what will come. The next two are free. The first one's called Amazon Window Shop. This came out in America about 3-4 weeks ago, and it's now out for the UK Amazon store. And basically, it's a different way of browsing the Amazon shop. So instead of seeing a traditional web page view, it's all very photo-driven and swipe-around and touch-driven interface. and just make shopping really easy.
Yeah, that sounds frightening to me. I found shopping when buying Christmas presents, I've always one for you, two for me.
That's just wrong.
I know. That's what happens.
And the last one, which is actually not easy to get in the UK, it's an app called Vivo HD. And basically, it's an app that serves up music videos. So it'll tell you what's most popular. It'll tell you what other people are listening to right now. You can go and search for artists and see their full catalogue. It'll link through to their Twitter streams and Facebook streams. The app's done really well. The only difficulty, it's in America only. To get it, sign up for an American iTunes account, and you can download the app and it still works here. So a lot of the other apps, American apps, you know, like Pandora, they'll actually say, you're not in the US, we won't stream to you. But Vivo just seems to work fine. And it's actually very, very good. And you can also, people can share playlists. So, you know, best of 2010, best of 2009 are all in there. And it's just, actually, I've been using it, you know, if I'm sitting on the exercise bike for an hour, I'll just fire up a playlist, let it turn in the background, some different music.
Nice.
Very nice.
Cool. And that is us for this episode and for this year. As we said, we're going to be disappearing until after CES, unless something bigger happens, I guess. We might. No, we're just going to disappear. you can, in the meantime, find out about us on digitaloutbox.com. Emailing us is info@digitaloutbox.com, and Twitter and Skype, we are on as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as Cheesy UK, and Ian?
I'm on Twitter as Shreeper, and I am... And my website is indie.net.
Good stuff. So happy Christmas, and we will see you next year.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of...
Another year gone?
Another year gone. Done. Dusted.
Done.
I knew... Yeah, could you?
See, when we were sitting at the start and I thought, oh, there's not too many stories here. And I just thought, no, we're going to ramble when it gets on to talking about our stuff.
Yeah, if we'd taken out the news, we might just have got in within an hour. Sorry. I didn't push
it. So good. Speak. I think you just need, you just buy too much. That's all it is.
I've got to make mince pies now.
Hey!
It's time. It's time for me to take the big step. I've got supply on this year.
What was quite funny is when you were talking about your voiceover man at the start, I had the music hall lined up to do X Factor in intro. Nice. And I had it all for the whole, like, it's time to whatever. And then I had a wee bit of, like, Paul McCartney ready for the when they introduced the host as well. I had it all ready and primed, and I thought, can't be arsed.
Well,
Might still do it.
That voice wasn't even my voiceover voice.
No, that's what made me chuckle, because it was like the first word you tried, and then it just went away. I am voiceover man.
I am voiceover man. Yes.
And my dear, we're still goodbying, but as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.